Oxcord Radio back on the airwaves. What is good, y'all? AJ Murphy.
Miles Vandenboom here, the weekly grind.
The weekly grind, back and better than ever. And, you know, last time we came, we had a new champion. And now the shockwaves have set through in the NBA world.
There's so much going on right now with this offseason. A lot of free agency, people opting in or out of contracts, and then obviously the draft coming up very shortly.
Tomorrow.
Let's go.
Yes. Very excited. Or very, actually very today excited. When you hear this. We're recording this tomorrow, a.k.a. Wednesday.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, let's get into it. A huge draft or a huge trade popped off on Saturday with the Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans trading Anthony Davis to the Lakers for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, they emptied out the war chest here for AD, holding on to Kuzma, though, so they have somewhat of a big three there.
Some shooting. Say,
but,
in youth.
Yeah, it's slim, though, after those three. I believe they only have 2 other guys, maybe 3, right now under contract, being Mo Wagner, whose rookie year was last year. And then I believe it's Isaac Bonga or something like that. Didn't get any tick, you know, last year, and they were bad. So definitely, you know, a little slim. However, they are, I guess, working on trying to rework the trade a little bit in cases where they would actually maybe add those 2 pieces I just talked about. And they're trying to get Anthony Davis to waive his trade bonus clause, I guess he has. So in his deal, he gets an extra $4 million from just being traded. So the Lakers, yeah, which is like, wow, easiest $4 million you could ever make. However, the Lakers are potentially looking to see if he'll waive it, giving them potential to open up another max spot.
Some wiggle room.
Exactly. Which
for Kemba.
Exactly, which could turn into Kemba Walker. I believe that's who they would, you know, be going for. Otherwise, I know Jimmy Butler. That's
a name. I feel like, I don't know.
I would hope it'd be
Kemba Walker. And that's not the bias either.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. You know,
well, the thing with Kemba is that if he re-signs with the Hornets, he'll make $81 million more than he would signing with anybody else.
I believe, yeah. I'm not sure.
Which about is part of, like, the retention. Yeah. I don't know. That has to do with, like, the retention.
Yeah, they're trying to keep players on the same team if they can to avoid super teams.
But is $81 million worth staying in Charlotte?
Yeah, and I believe they do have to offer it, and it's a question if they will offer the super max, because it's like the super max contract, or if they're just going to look to offer him a max contract. So if they offer him the super max, it's kind of difficult for him. I think if they just offer him a max contract, you know, he's going to look to go somewhere else, and then the Hornets are definitely trying to rebuild, which, I mean, for their sake, I don't think is necessarily a bad idea.
Yeah, they've been kind of mediocre,
bad-ish. Kemba's done a lot for them, yeah, but, I mean, they really haven't had anything.
No.
It's kind of interesting, you know, like you said, if he were to stay and he gets that contract, it's like an extra $80 million. Harrison Barnes just opted out of a contract where he would have been making $25 million next year.
With the Kings.
Yeah.
And that's like a decent team to be with. Like, they're on the rise for sure.
And it's just like Harrison Barnes, I'm sorry, you know, he's not going to get $25 million from another team. That is like a max contract deal or pretty close to.
For him.
So, yeah. Like,
at this point.
Yeah, no, that's a sweet deal for him. So kind of surprised that he did decide to decline it. Otherwise, you know, Al Horford looks like he's declining his option with the Celtics, looking to get out.
The seas are falling apart.
They are. Irving, you know, looking to go to the Nets. That's at least the way it's looking. And then Al Horford, from what I saw, the favorite to pick him up, which shocked me, was the Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did not expect that.
The Mavericks could be good again with that one.
Yeah, I mean, if Porzingis plays for the next year, Luka, Porzingis, you got Al Horford on that team. I mean, that's a good big three. You know, guys like Tim Hardaway and stuff, some good role players.
Keyword so. Big.
Yeah, no, we'll see. If Porzingis is back, that could be very interesting. We have Middleton opting out of his deal in Milwaukee, but it looks like he's just looking to
make some more money.
That one, we're not really looking at too crazy.
He's way better than $13 million. With all the money that everybody else is making,
if Harrison Barnes can, you know, turn down $25 million, Chris Middleton should definitely be
an all-star.
Turning down $30 million.
All-star Chris Middleton.
Oh yeah, no, it's going up. It's going way up. He had a hell of a year. You know, one of those guys that you could potentially talk about as, you know, a most improved, which I guess we do have coming up in a few days.
With the award show. On yeah. your birthday.
Yeah, dude.
Happy birthday.
I mean, I guess quick, who do you think are taking some of these awards? So MVP?
I would have to say probably James Harden.
James Harden. That's who I'm going with. 36 points a game.
Yeah, there's, I mean, and then that stretch of 30-plus point games over like 35, yeah, something like that. 35 games, like.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, we can't give you that because Giannis took his team to the East Finals.
Yeah.
And took an L.
Literally. So, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I mean, Coach of the Year, I'm thinking Mike Budenholzer from Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
That one I feel like is pretty easy. Most Improved Player is the other one where it is a little tough. I think it's Pascal Siakam, but I don't know. D'Angelo Russell wasn't, you know.
I feel like it probably has to go to D'Angelo.
I think
feel
it
like
is going to go to D'Angelo
He was
Russell.
The one that made the Nets really click.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Pascal really stepped up and was key
He's
all the way
the playoffs.
Through.
Yeah, but the thing is it's regular season award. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think D'Angelo Russell's probably getting that award. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to. Otherwise, quick other free agency notes. Chris Paul with the Rockets. Seems like that's a little rocky. He denies, you know, what's going on. So does Daryl Morey, saying, you know, he does want to stay. But, you know, who really knows?
I don't know if that can work, honestly. I feel like they missed their chance when they missed, like, 27
yeah,
straight
three-pointers.
Yeah,
they missed it a couple years ago. And they really missed their chance this year when KD went out.
Mm-hmm.
But LOL. That's how it goes, I guess, as far as the Wolves go. Shopping Andrew Wiggins, it looks
aggressively,
like.
Aggressively, quote unquote.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like Timberwolves fans everywhere, we are excited hearing this, if this is the case.
Quite.
Yeah. So what's this deal with them being in the run for the number four pick? Do you know what they'd be giving up to potentially do that?
See, that's the thing. I don't know. I don't really think I saw anything in terms of, like, what they would do to give that up. Now, I mean, I feel like possibly a trade with Jeff Teague or Andrew Wiggins or somebody of some type of caliber would be involved to ship that to New Orleans for that pick. I don't know. I mean, yeah. But, you know, it's like, do the Wolves ever make moves like this? No, but Gerson Rosas, the new president of basketball operations, he's going to come in. He's going to make a change. So if there was a way to make a change, this would be it. It's trading up and blah, 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 and changing, you know. I don't know if I really see that happening just because I feel like they don't have enough capital to give up to get that fourth pick. I feel like the Pelicans would be better off just having that pick and
Andrew Wiggins. I personally, at least for his contract, different contract. I think, you know, you're going to be more into Wiggins, but honestly, offhand,
well,
I don't
now
know
they
what
have
it
the
is,
money.
But yeah, I mean, they do have the money. A lot of young players that aren't going to be making too much bank on that team. I know they're looking to get an all-star with that fourth pick potentially. So it'd be interesting to see if they actually use that pick or not. I guess kind of like we were just talking about, maybe, you know, the Wolves looking to get a run at that. So.
Mike Conley getting traded to the Utah Jazz. That was huge because, you know, Ja Morant is probably going to be drafted, most likely going to be drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies. So
that seems to be, yeah, that's another one of those where it seems to be written in stone as far as, you know, the first two picks. I think we know what's happening. I think that's, you know, it's a very interesting trade for the Grizzlies. Personally, I like it a lot, getting some young talent. You know, I'm not the biggest Grayson Allen fan.
He got shipped out?
Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, and then Jay Crowder. Yeah. Big thing Beast. Being, though, you know, they do have a later first-round pick this year, and then they're going to have a first-round pick next year. So with this year's pick, you know, it's the 23rd. There's a couple guys that I could potentially see them getting. And I think it would be kind of crazy if they, you know, with this pick, let's say Bol Bol from Oregon is hanging around, maybe just a late flyer. But yeah, I like what the Grizzlies are doing. Jaren Jackson last year and then Ja Morant and whoever.
People
they
say
pick.
That Jaren Jackson was like the best rookie or like the most polished and they can like really build around him.
Yeah, the biggest thing with him, dude, is he was getting into so much foul trouble that he wasn't able to stay in games. But when he was in the game, he's lights out, dude. Very good three-point shooter. He can protect the rim. He's just like, I think he'll play well next to Ja Morant, can defend multiple positions when he's not fouling.
not with five fouls on the bench. So, yeah, that'll be interesting for Utah, having two pretty good ball handlers in the backcourt with Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. Interested to see how that's going to work out and then where the Utah Jazz is going to build up from here. Because, you know, that's some pieces that they lost. I mean, Jay Crowder was kind of a, you know, a real hype guy and definitely one of those lightning rods. One of those glue guys. Yeah,
same definitely. With Kyle Korver.
That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I got you. A veteran, you know, presence with Kyle Korver to have around. Really good shooter. Obviously, Mike Conley is going to be a step up from Ricky Rubio. Yeah, this man can score. So play good defense. Mike Conley can play good defense. So that I think plays, you know, well into what Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and some of those other maybe not as, you know, noteworthy pieces. Noteworthy, no pun intended. Alrighty, so talking about the draft, we're thinking Zion 1, Ja Morant 2. So with that third pick, the New York Knicks. You know, where do we think they're going here?
RJ Barrett.
That, you know, it seems like that would be what would make the most sense for them to do. I just think they'd be stupid if they didn't, personally.
There's
no reason.
You basically stumbled into this.
Yeah.
Sorry you didn't get Zion, but you still have number three, so RJ let's make Barrett the right pick.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows? Like, with these top three, I know Zion is, like, the most, a lot of
the hype,
a lot of flash.
Real.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of hype. But Ja Morant could potentially be the best player in this draft. And, honestly, I don't see why RJ Barrett couldn't either. Like, there's definitely this top three. And then after, you know, there's a teardrop. But, yeah, I mean, getting RJ Barrett, I think, would be a good thing for the Knicks. They are working out Darius Garland today, so we'll see if they look to go there. But I just don't think that would make sense with them making a trade for Dennis Smith late last year in that Porzingis trade.
They don't need a point guard.
Yeah, it's the Knicks, though, so who knows what they'll do. But if they're smart, they're drafting RJ Barrett.
Scenario, they draft Garland, and then the Pelicans get Zion and RJ.
Oh, my goodness. I would love to see that. I honestly would. And the Pelicans, too, are... They have a lot of young pieces that people are going to forget about from last year with it not being a great year.
That would be gross because that would be another roadblock in the West.
Yeah.
It's already hard as it is. Let's break this up. Jesus.
Get some of these players in the East. I mean, yeah, but a lot of good pieces. Elfrid Payton, Julius Randle, now Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram.
Drew Holiday, Ball.
Drew Holiday, too. Which, I mean, that guy, you know, when he's healthy all year, is a all-star, borderline all-star, you know, so... We'll see what they do there. As far as the number four pick goes, like we talked about, maybe trading that to get a potential all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, they're really in a win-now mode if they're doing that. Otherwise, I mean, I don't see what's wrong with, like we just said, number four pick. You know, you grab an RJ Barrett. Maybe it'd be DeAndre Hunter, who seems like he's going to be a good fit in the NBA. Or Darius Garland, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, for sure. And then what are the Wolves? What are we – I know – there's been discussions of Brandon Clark and Roy Hachimura, both from Gonzaga, both play the four. That's like a need that we – I mean, I feel like people forget about Kita Bates-Diop. Was that his name? That's his name, right?
Yeah, he came on a little bit towards the end of the year.
Yeah, we had to get people some playing time with, you know, half the team hurt. So I feel like he showed out. What's in store for him, who knows? But I feel like that, you know, the 3-4 spot, especially if Wiggins gets traded.
Yeah, we're praying.
needs to happen. I don't know who's going to take that albatross of a contract.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's
Standrew.
We'll see. I mean, Otto Porter, someone, I don't know how, of course, Chicago, you know, was able to take on that Otto Porter that contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sending off, you know, some of the right pieces. So maybe the Wolves can do something similar. You know, we're not going to get what we want necessarily back. But I think to just get rid of that salary would be huge, especially if we are trying to get D'Angelo Russell.
I feel like if that happens, then we can definitely –
I think D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, I really do like some of these pieces on the Wolves. Robert Covington, you know, he was hurt for a lot last year after being traded. But I remember, like, the first couple weeks seeing him on the Wolves, I was really excited watching him.
All over the place.
You know, Dario Saric has his moments. And Josh Okogie, we will never forget that James Harden block.
Oh, man.
That was nuts.
Young clamps.
Exactly. So, personally, I'd like to see them look to get a point guard, whether it be via trade or from this draft. It's just going to be difficult with there really only being two point guards that are towards the top. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's like a big drop. I guess three, but I don't really count Ja Morant because he's gone. It's Kobe White and Darius Garland. So if somehow Kobe White was to fall to us, or if we go up and grab Darius Garland, but I don't think I see that happen.
Go up and grab Kobe White?
Potentially. He's from North Carolina. I believe he scored the most as a freshman in UNC history. Mm. Which, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be mad at it. With Tyus, you know, being the backup point guard, can play that facilitator role. But, yeah, I just think, you know, the four, we have some pieces. I like Gorgui Dieng, you know, coming off the bench. I think Dario fits in with what we're doing, looking to spread out the floor a little bit more. So I don't think there's, like, a huge need. But if anything, point guard, I think, is what I'd like to see us go for.
That would be very healthy, very juicy. Anything else that we really want to talk about basketball-wise?
Otherwise, Sekou Doumbouya is another guy to look for. Coming from overseas, I believe it's France, a guy that maybe the Wolves would look to go to. Let's say they're not able to move this pick for some upside. Otherwise, you know, guys like Brandon Clark and Hachimura, you know, are more proven, more polished coming mm-hmm. from Gonzaga and could maybe help, you know, the Wolves win now.
Definitely. We need that win now mentality. One note to get to before we go on to NFL stuff. So we got some things going on with Space Jam. So Damian Lillard, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson are supposed to have some feature key roles in the movie, as well as Diana Taurasi and Nneka Agumike. I don't know if I said her first name wrong, but that's how you definitely say her last name. So
yeah.
It's cool to see some WNBA players in there as well. Cool. But what do you think about that whole?
That is interesting. So that is why Anthony Davis wanted out of New Orleans, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, money. I think that's interesting. That's going to be a money grab. And then Damian Lillard. I mean, obviously he lives in LA on the off season. Fun fact: I had a friend that lived next to his house. I think. Yeah,
damn, dude.
Yeah, one of Steven's friends like lived next to his house, but
that is crazy.
Yeah, he was like using it as an Airbnb at the moment. So I was like, "Dang, I can't go and knock him, ask for an autograph."
Jeez, man. I guess that makes sense for him to do when he's not there, get some cash. Not that he necessarily needs it, as that Adidas bag on top of the max contract. Very interesting. Some of those names, like Lillard, I personally wouldn't have expected him to be in.
But it makes Space Jam. Kind of.
It
kind of
makes sense, I guess. Kind of not. I feel like he's one of those guys that isn't necessarily in the limelight. Maybe mm-hmm. that's why he wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. But I mean, being in that area,
I feel
makes
like
sense.
That's probably. I don't know. Because
he really doesn't get his due.
Yeah, I don't know. He gets publicity, but he's not like the kind of guy that, I don't know, he just like acts like really
Portland.
Calm
yeah,
and collected
like it's
about everything.
How it is.
So.
Like if Lillard was on, you know, a New York or an LA team, Chicago team, I think it'd be a lot different mm-hmm. for him as far as his clout, for lack of a better term, comes up. You know, Klay Thompson on it, I guess, kind of makes sense. He hasn't necessarily been able to get as much money in the
Will
NBA
Klay
as
Thompson
he could have.
Be on it?
Is that what it said?
Well, I mean, it did say that, but...
Uh-oh, Klay Thompson ACL, out for Space Jam 2 with the ACL injury. That's that'll be interesting to see what they do.
Oh,
my goodness. That is a Space Jam movie I would go see.
Yes. Klay hurt. Yeah, I'd pay $10 to see that.
There we go.
Instead of the normal price for an NBA ticket.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, moving on to NFL stuff, predictions. This week we are doing the AFC South, an interesting division last year. Coming into last year, a lot of people thought it would be the Jags. They would just get back to the same old business. Instead, they fell apart because of Blake Bortles, blah, blah, blah. The Titans. Yeah, the Jaguars won the division. The Titans went to the wild card, beat the Chiefs, and then lost. Coming in, they didn't do really anything last year. Mariota was once again on the shelf. Yeah. And then you kind of had a reversal of fortune. The Texans, who lost to Deshaun Watson midseason with the ACL, got him back. They were lights out. Nuke Hopkins was good. The defense was solid. And then the Colts, which I think was probably the most improved team, bringing in Frank Reich, Andrew Luck. We didn't really know where he was going to be at, and it took him a little bit, but he was really on fire and became an MVP candidate late. Obviously, Eric Ebron, the most touchdowns for a tight end for the year. And there was one game where he had three touchdowns. I remember we were going nuts seeing that on Red Zone. So a lot of improvement there. The Colts and the Texans played each other in the playoffs. The Colts won, and then the Colts played the Chiefs, lost, obviously. But, I don't really think the Colts, anybody expected them to be that far.
Especially with how the season started. I believe they started like 0-4, 0-5, I want to say.
Kind of bad. I don't think it was that bad. I think it was like 1-4 or something.
Maybe
like
it was
that.
1-4. Anyway, I mean, yeah, it was not a good start. They were just losing some close games. I remember they lost that game to the Texans on, kind of a questionable call from Frank Reich.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, yeah, that was like an OT game.
I remember a lot of people kind of on
his case for that.
They lost
their opener on a pick six.
Yeah, it was just
against the Bengals.
Tough. Yeah. Oh, boy. And we'll get to Cincinnati on a future episode where they might be going. But, yeah, I would imagine the Colts back on top of this division, adding some pieces here. I think the biggest one being Justin Houston, obviously, to kind of bolster up that defense. They're going to have Leonard in his second year, inside linebacker, able to make some plays.
Defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah,
he crazy. Was. But he was I don't know good. How he didn't get into the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
That was the biggest snub by far.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had the most tackles in the damn league.
Yeah, and he would just, like, come up to people and strip them, like, upright. Like, he did that on several occasions. This man is a man among boys out there.
And I don't remember where he was drafted exactly, but it was not that high.
It was not within the
first two or three rounds, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely, round three at least or something like that.
Yeah, no, it was later. And, I mean, that offense, I imagine they're going to do their thing again. Andrew Luck came back pretty well. And then picking up Devin Funchess and Spencer Ware.
Paris Campbell, too, drafted him from Ohio State.
So, yeah, some more pieces coming in. Not sure how I necessarily feel about him. Specifically, Devin Funchess. I don't know if he's bad or Cam Newton just can't throw him the football.
I think it's might be
maybe a little bit of both.
But I think it's more Cam Newton can't throw him the football.
Yeah.
Or was.
Yeah. Not sure what to expect from Cam Newton and sort of what's been happening with him, with his arm been a little inconsistent. But the Colts, a team we imagine, top of the division here. I would, think they're probably like an 11-5, 12-4.
Probably.
12-4 probably being their cap. But, I mean, in this division, I think that's enough.
Definitely enough. The Texans adding some pieces, losing Tyrann Mathieu, right?
Yeah, Tyrann Mathieu is
going to the Chiefs. We're able to pick up some offensive linemen, Titus Howard and Max Sharping.
They really need to get that line busted up.
They franchise tag Jadeveon Clowney, which is interesting going forward because, a lot of teams do that to kind of set the number at that position cap for people that they want to, hold off on a deal for as long as possible.
Yeah.
The question is, are they going to give him a deal? I know there's been maybe trade whispers because, you're not really going to pay two edge rushers premium money.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Unless, if it was more proven, I feel like...
And if he was more, versatile and could do a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, if they were winning more games, I think it's like, okay, this formula's working. Let's pay him. But... don't really know yet. Last year they played pretty well. So we'll see what happens this year. Not sure what to expect. They're a team that I think could be, pretty good. But at the same time, maybe more middle of the pack as well. Maybe we're looking at like a 9-7, 10-6 team. I'm thinking with the Texans here.
Definitely on that. I feel like they should still be up at the level that they were last year. They do have to play the AFC South this year, so that'll be kind of tough. And then the AFC East as well.
Yeah, so playing New England, that's going to be tough.
Playing the Saints.
Playing the Saints. I have a
matchup with the Falcons, if they're going to be good.
The Ravens, the Falcons, if they're going to be good. The Chargers. Just a lot of tough games this year, this time around. So, and obviously having to play the Colts twice. So that's going to be difficult for them. Tough schedule. But I think they're a good team. They should definitely be able to win some of those games.
The Jaguars, as we talked about, came into last year as the favorites. Then the wheels fell off the bus. They get rid of Blake Bortles in that Albatross contract. Bring in Nick Foles, who won your Eagles the Super Bowl and was the Super Bowl MVP. And then came in and almost, got halfway there again last year.
Who knows if the Eagles are to come out on top with that game. The way the Rams were looking, I... you know, a little biased, but I think that the Eagles could have taken down the Rams in from there. Round two against New England. Not sure how that would have gone. The way the Patriots were looking last year, I would imagine they would have taken the Eagles anyway, but I would not have minded seeing them in the Super Bowl again. Back to back, sir. Otherwise, drafting Josh Allen, who kind of fell to them. you know, with the Raiders doing what they did. Where did the Jaguars pick? Do you remember what pick they had? It was seven, yeah. So then he actually fell a little bit more because the Giants went with Daniel Jones, who apparently is looking better or looking good now. So
I hope so.
We'll see.
And then Juwan Taylor, who was touted as the best tackle in this draft, a top 10 overall player in this draft, and who I saw in a lot of mock drafts early on and closer to the draft, was actually going to that pick at number 7, but slid down to them in the second round. They traded up for him at the third pick of the second round. So
it's crazy.
It's crazy to, you know, to be able to get two potential first-round talents in the first two rounds. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. With the Jaguars, you know, a lot of additions that we just talked about, and probably the biggest addition of all is getting rid of Blake Bortles.
Addition by subtraction. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, it's a team where it's like kind of scratch your head a little bit. Like, not sure what to expect. Is this a team where they're fighting to, you know, win 6 or 7 games? Or, I mean, is this a team that could be 10-6, 11-5, and win this division? So, not really sure what to expect.
Yeah, they don't really have any wide receivers. No Dante Moncrief. He's on the Pittsburgh Steelers now.
Yeah.
So, that's tough losing a guy that had targets.
Yeah, not a ton of weapons for Nick Foles. That defense, it's like, if that defense is good, you know, like it was 2 years ago, you know, and they were able to win with Blake Bortles. So Leonard Fournette was
Nick
more
Foles
helpful,
game manager.
Yeah, we'll see what he does. See how the Jaguars are looking. They're a team that I see probably a little bit under 500, maybe around. But like we said, you know, who really knows in the NFL? There's always one of those teams that
pops
out, comes
out
of nowhere. Yeah,
right.
So,
and then last but not least, the Tennessee Titans.
But least.
some interesting additions. I don't know. I don't really know what to ever think of them because, like, they drafted Mariota and nothing has really come of it yet. And I'm just, it's tough to see because they're just, like,
team.
Middling. You know, they beat the Eagles last year in a huge game and then they kind of fell apart.
That was tough.
Corey Davis, obviously a huge guy on their team. They draft A.J. Brown, pick up Roger Saffold. I know that was a guy that was linked to the Vikings as a potential offensive lineman prospect. Getting Cam Wake, his old self, on the line. And then Kadeem Vicario bolstering that secondary, which is including Park Center alumni Amani Hooker.
Yes, sir.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
we went to school with him.
That is wild to think about.
And now he's playing in the NFL. Fourth round pick at Iowa.
Him.
That's
yeah.
crazy, man.
No, that's sweet. Yeah, this Titans team, really not a team that I'm thinking is going to be too.
You think they're going to be
crazy.
Bottom feeder?
I think they might be one of the worst teams in the league, which
Ooh.
Feels crazy to say because they were in the playoffs last year. But I feel like they won a lot of games
the year
last
before.
Year. Oh, they weren't in the playoffs last year.
No.
They came close. They came close enough. Closer than they should have.
Yeah.
They were just winning, I feel like, a lot of games that they shouldn't have won.
What was their record last year? Give me 1 second.
They were right around 500. You know, it's kind of a confusing team. Bringing in Tannehill sort of puzzles me. You know, what the status is with them and Marcus Mariota.
They were 9-7. What the heck?
Exactly. They won a lot of games they should not have won if you look at the schedule. And a lot of close games, too. We're like, oh, this team will definitely get them. And then, you know, they pull out a win. So a good season for them last year, but I just don't see them being able to repeat that. I don't think they made enough additions to, like, support a winning record. And some tough games, too, playing the Falcons, playing the Browns, you know, playing the Chargers, the Chiefs, Colts 2 times, and playing the Saints 2, and they have to play the Texans. So
the Colts and the Texans twice.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Which, you know, maybe they pull out, I feel like, one of those.
I feel like
nice.
All those teams in the AFC South are always able to beat each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like they kind of
just
trade,
have something on.
Except for the Colts and the Titans. I feel like, I'm pretty sure, like, the Andrew Luck has never lost to the Titans in his career.
I don't think it's happened.
Or something like that. I remember seeing a bit like that. So that's very interesting. So yeah, Titans kind of bottom feeder we're expecting, but you know, you never know.
You never know. I would imagine
Mariota for MVP.
Yeah. Watch it happen.
Let's make it happen, baby.
Delanie Walker just goes off for like 1,800 yards and 14 touchdowns.
Gross. Yeah, after he broke his wrist.
Yeah. I mean, it was a tough year too for them, I guess, being fair. Some injuries, but it's hard to make that an excuse, I feel like, in the NFL, because
everybody gets hurt. It's a physical game.
Every team goes through it.
Survival of the fittest, basically.
Yeah. So Titans, not a team that I'm thinking are going to be, you know, amazing, but who knows? So probably like 3-13, I think maybe 4-12. So I'm thinking, you know, they're going to be up there next year. Do you think it's Tannehill or Mariota? I don't understand what the Tannehill pickup was for.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's just for like a solid backup in case of – because I feel like at this point they don't trust
Mariota is
him health. Holding up and playing a full season. So, you know, I think that's wise on their part, and they didn't really give up too much.
Yeah.
They're not paying him too much for it, so
wow,
I don't know.
He's just fallen off. Not that like Ryan Tannehill was ever like that dude, but I don't know. Coming into the league, I think a lot of people were –
he's going to save the Dolphins.
I remember an old friend of mine, Guy Asmussen. Oh, my goodness. Won't get into him too much. Yeah. But just, like, really excited for Ryan Tannehill. He's better than Johnny Manziel.
That's a sentence.
I guess he was better than Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Like, who would you take?
At this point, Johnny Manziel in the Canadian Football League. Maybe not. Maybe not. That's a stretch. But, no. Not sure really what happened to him. Just it didn't pan out.
It didn't pan out. For some people, it didn't pan out. There was a lot of injuries. He tore his ACL before camp 2 years ago. That was when they brought in Jay Cutler. I just feel like he never really got a good draw. And I feel like even when he was out there, they didn't really – I mean, they had Jarvis Landry.
He never really had the pieces either.
That was like the best – I mean, that was a good – Jarvis Landry is a great player. But other than that, he didn't really have anybody. So
then they – Dolphins haven't had a running game almost
ever. Or a defense.
Yeah, or anything.
Yeah, so not a lot of help there, but, you know, that's just the way the dice roll. So, yeah, that's our sports portion of the program. We'll go to break, play a song, come back, and wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the Sports Guys.
All right, see ya.
Like Chanel, see on both sides like Chanel. Swimming laps through pool water, eating like I'm underworld. Had my tattoos in Shibuya, police think I'm of the underworld. 12 treat a nigga like he 12. How you looking up to me and talking down? Can't you see I am the big man? God level, I am the I am. Now film it with the drone cam and the pink like Killer Cam.
When I zoom on that stick, no way.
Up so close, I'm on that kill.
Controller on your lower back, yeah, that's the good. Dick will roll the eyes back in the skull.
Rollin' when you ride, poppin'. Rollin' when you ride, ride the ride. Got one street actin', turned up like some dirty plastic. 2016, burn some discs. 2017, ideas playing off Walgreens. This a cult, not a click on it. With a cup in a cup, activist. That's a double edge, it's a knife. And I don't like to fight till I'm fighting. Revenge in the air makes my lungs sick. Chopper in the sky like a gun trick. Clips on clips like Mike. It's really all. See both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. It's really you on my mind. It's really you on my mind. It's really you. It's really you on my mind.
Need both sides of the 12s. Need both sides of the L. Free smoke rings in they hell. Sleet snow grind for the well. Whole team diamonds is real. Show them how to shine by themselves. You need a cosign for your help. I need that bitch to grind on my belt. I know you need to drive for my belt. I know you seen it drive in itself. No matte black on the ride cause it's stale. But it's stale. I see both sides like Chanel. I see both sides like Chanel.
My pocket's snug. They can't hold my 7. They ban my visa.
my Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapsed. I rubber band a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I mean my baby boy, amazing the cash online unknown. I mean my baby boy, blazing the dash, got money at home. My pocket snug, they can't hold my 7, they ban my Visa, my Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapsed. I rubber band a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I mean my baby boy, amazing the cash online unknown. I mean my baby boy, blazing the dash, got money at home.
What's up, guys? Oxcode Radio. That was Frank Ocean, Chanel, a classic bop from 2 summers ago. Just had to throw that in there because we're not always going to play new, fresh music. We got to play the best hits here on Oxcode Radio. So, yeah, that was Frank Ocean getting us back into the break. To be honest with you, I didn't really have a whole lot. Not a lot has happened. There was just kind of a couple little bits and pieces that I wanted to get to here. So we were going to talk about this in the sports portion before, and I know we haven't really covered baseball a whole lot lately, but that is going to change a little bit just because the Twins are doing phenomenal right now. The Twins currently have the best record in the AL, tied with the Houston Astros for 48 wins going into last night. The Dodgers have 49 wins. So the Twins up there with one of the best records in the MLB, which is very surprising considering last year we were towards the bottom as a bottom feeder kind of team. The year previous, we won 85 games and went to the wild card game and lost to our arch rival in playoff roadblock, it seems like. Permanent playoff roadblock, the New York Yankees. So hopefully we don't run into the Yankees again this year, and the Twins can keep up their hot start. One thing I do want to kind of touch on is that the Twins have a great offense. They are on pace to hit, you know, I think it's like over 200 home runs this year, and they're currently ranking as one of the top, if not the top offense in MLB as far as hitting percentage, on base percentage, home runs, blah, 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 all that good junk. Now, on the flip side of things, not very good on defense, in the 20s range, you know, maybe towards the middle of the pack. But the bullpen, you know, when the starting pitchers come out, we are not set. And that has been a concern all year. Last night it kind of caught up to us with the Red Sox. They blew the bullpen wide open, blew the doors wide open on the game. So that's really something that we need to address as the bullpen. And I think that hopefully we address that with a piece or two coming up at the trade deadline. The trade deadline is at the end of this month. And then we'll have the All-Star game in, I think it's Cleveland. Yes, Cleveland. So the All-Star game will be in Cleveland. That's in a couple weeks. Kind of a nice showing. Some home run derby action will happen. The All-Star game, which I think is probably one of the best All-Star games, considering that you have a large number of All-Stars in the MLB that get to play in it. And then they're wearing their own uniforms in home or away fashion. In terms of, you know, if they're, you know, the American League is the home team or the away team, blah, blah, blah. And I've always liked that because I like seeing everybody in their uniforms, you know, mixing the colors on the field. I get, you know, the NBA having like their own All-Star uniforms and the NFL having Pro Bowl uniforms and the NHL even has their own uniforms. So baseball stands alone when it comes to them playing in their regular, you know, just uniform, coming to the ballpark in my uniform, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why I can't find another word to say besides uniform. So, yeah, I really like the All-Star game, and I'm looking forward to it for that reason only, because I get to see all the colors mix and not some random Adidas, Nike, look at this sick uniform that the All-Stars will be wearing, blah, blah, blah. Just leave that at home, guys. Bring your own stuff. I would love to see that in basketball again. They used to do it like that back in the early 2000s, and now they've kind of gone away with that because they wanted to get the Jordan brand uniforms and have everybody in black or in white. That's boring, man. It's monotone. Come on. So, yeah. Baseball heating up a little bit. It's going to be the only sport that's in play basketball ending, but we're choosing to focus a lot on football. But I kind of just wanted to touch on the Twins. I didn't even touch on the fact that they went into a 17-inning game on Tuesday night. Played until almost 1 a.m. 17 innings, if you're calculating that right, that is almost two full games. And people were still at Target Field watching the madness. Max Kepler walks it off on a bases-loaded single, and the Twins win in 17 innings, the longest game in Target Field history. Another note to touch on, which I think is going to be interesting. So currently there is a story out on Twitter, take that how you will, that people are trying to get Keanu Reeves, a.k.a. John Wick, to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, he's turned down a couple of these offers, but people feel like he's hopeful to maybe come and join the whole cinematic universe, and I feel like that would be interesting to have Mr. John Wick in the universe. In what way he would fit in, I'm not really sure, but it would be interesting to see how they squeeze him in, and I feel like maybe in some aspect he could be kind of a good villain. You know, I love a good villain, because that makes me want to root against them and really hate them. And that really gets people more into the film more when you have someone that you truly hate and despise on the screen. So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out for everything. There's not really anything that I really want to touch on. No Call of Duty news that's new. Fortnite not really doing anything new for the time being. Surprise, surprise. But we'll just have to wait and see. They do have a game mode, Horde Rush, and it's basically you're playing with a squad, and it's basically just like zombies, basically just like Call of Duty zombies. You know, you set up shop, you grab weapons, and you kill these zombies, and there's a huge one at the end that you got to beat, and it's a boss. I have played this and won and lost both times, but when I lost, it was a glitch, and we got stuck, and yeah. Anyway, games are stupid. Fortnite, why are you still running a beta? You've made enough money to where you can give us an actual game. So if you would like to do that, that would be wonderful. All right, guys. Well, that's all I really had to touch on for today. I hope you guys have a good week. Next week, we'll be back talking more sports. We are probably going to be previewing the AFC West, I assume. That'll probably be a good division for us to touch on. My boy Sam Melby will be on. So I feel like that'll be right down his alley, being the Chiefs head that he is. So excited to have some football talk next week. I hope you guys have a good week. We're going to drop it here with this Russ new bop, Civil War. Russ makes all of his own songs, so I thought this one was kind of, a neat little song. I'm not a huge fan of Russ, but I'll listen to him here and there, and, you know, it's all about the beats for me. If I feel a beat that's clicking, I'm going to put it on. So here it is, Russ, Civil War. Thanks for listening, guys. Aux Code Radio. We'll see you next week.
I don't wanna text you anymore. I just wanna stop this civil war. Baby, please, please call my phone. I don't wanna text you anymore. I just wanna stop this civil war. Baby, please, please. Yeah. He don't wanna call it quits. She don't wanna call it quits. Even though they both been screaming, both got reasons, yeah. Never turn your back on love. Been with you from the jump. Even though they both been screaming, both got reasons, yeah. Every night it's the same old thing. Fucking fight, it's the same old thing. Wake up, make up, repeat. Both of them say put the blame on me. He be acting so prideful, stop. She be acting so prideful, stop. Wake up, make up, repeat. Both of them say put the blame on me. Call my phone. I don't wanna text you anymore. I just wanna stop this civil war. Baby, please, please call my phone. I don't wanna text you anymore. I just wanna stop this civil war. Baby, please, please. Yeah. They been spawn, seeing which one's gonna drop first. Doesn't matter, cause they both got hurt. Clockwork, how they all over each other's sixes. No amount of blunts or Henny is gonna fix this. Get to the core of it, talk, start exploring it. They so out of tune with each other, they ignoring it. Acting like the problems ain't there, stick around out of fear. Starting over with someone and wasting another year. Call my phone, I don't wanna text you anymore.
I just wanna stop this civil war, baby, please. Please call my phone. I don't wanna text you anymore. I just wanna stop this civil war, baby, please. Please. And they tried, they stuck through it, they cut through it, but that ain't worth it.